Hi, guys, and welcome to the Dead by Tomorrow podcast. My name is Daniel Winter, and my co-host is Andrew Monroe. In each episode, Andrew and I will explore topics that you should think about before you die. We encourage you to remember that some tomorrow will be your last, so each day could be your final chance to really live.
Hey, guys, welcome back to Dead by Tomorrow. I know it's been a little bit between episodes. Daniel and I have been having exciting times with our lives. And by that, I mean Daniel has, and I like to pretend. So welcome back to another episode. This week, we're going to be covering money. And it's kind of a scary subject for most people. It's actually a chapter from our book, The Atypical Money Guide. We try and keep it a little bit lighter and less whatever that is when people think budgets and whatnot. But let's see how this goes. So Daniel, money. It's a hard topic to talk about for most people. Where do you want to jump off on this?
Yeah, money's kind of funny because I feel like it's one of those things that is a little bit of a taboo subject. People don't like to talk too much of their finances, what they make, all that sort of stuff, unless they're doing really, really well. And then I feel like that's all they want to talk about. But yeah, I feel like it's a tough subject to cover gracefully. And I was telling you earlier, it's a little bit ironic to do this episode right now because I think in terms of finances, Hillary and I, our savings is probably at an all-time low at the moment, but it's because we've gotten to experience some of the big major life things that you typically put rainy day funds away for and some of those types of deals. And Hillary and I, all right, I'm not going to lump Hillary into this. She probably has a totally different perspective, but I have a little bit of a different mindset when it comes to just squirreling away large amounts of money. And this year, this past maybe 2 years, has shown some of the pros to that mindset and also maybe some of the cons. And so this is anything we say, you're going to have to take with a grain of salt because I'm coming from a different spot than other listeners might be. Got some debt, but have really good credit, have a solid, well-paying job that I'm not necessarily concerned about losing. So those are things to keep in mind. If any of those factors are different for you, some of what we talk about may not completely apply. But this past year, to kind of lay out some of the money situations that we've gone through, we have had a kid. So that's lots of medical bills and fun stuff there. And I can talk about some ways to approach medical bills here in a sec. Sold and then bought a house. And then in that house, had to do a remodel of the bathroom because it didn't exist. And then after doing the remodel of the bathroom, found out that our house had mold. And so had to completely gut the kitchen, do an unexpected kitchen remodel. And so all of that, and we bought a car, getting ready for the baby. And all of that happened in the course of a year, right? And so those are things that you maybe hope happen spread out, you know, maybe 3 years in between each of those different types of events. So you can kind of build your savings back up to take those hits. And so we did not have the chance to do that. But what we did do is take advantage of a few different things that I'll talk about that, you know, maybe people listening to the episode are aware of, maybe they're not, and maybe this can help you if you are concerned about, you know, your money situation and are wondering how you could make through a tough situation like that, or maybe you're trying to make a move, but you don't feel like you're in the financial place to do it yet. So I'll start out with kind of the first thing that happened, and I'll break out the things that we did to stay financially, you know, in the black, where we're not in crazy amounts of debt and we're not, you know, struggling to eat every month. So the first thing we did was buy a car. And buying the car, we actually put a little bit of money down. We actually had some money saved up. And, you know, we bought a used car. We did all the haggling sort of stuff and we didn't pay with cash. We did finance the car. And that's, I know for some people it's a no-no, but for us, we just took the mindset of we're going to get a car that's really high quality. We knew we were going to be having a kid soon and we didn't want something where we're going to have to be taking it back into the shop over and over and over again. And so that's been a good decision. We love our car. It's been really reliable. And we haven't had extra expenses beyond just that monthly payment for the car. Then the next thing that we did was decide to sell our current house and buy a new house so that we could be closer to friends, which that's a whole different episode, and have more space for having our baby because we knew we were pregnant at the time we bought the house. So the thing that let us do that was using a 401k. Hopefully, and this is something from our money chapter, hopefully if you're working, your company offers a 401k and offers a match. And one piece of advice is at least put in the amount that you need to get the company match, because that is quite literally free money. So if your company matches 4%, one for one, put in 4%, and you just gave yourself a salary raise of 4%. Maybe you don't see it right now, but that's going to be your money someday. And the nice thing about a 401k loan is you can actually use that right now for something like buying a house. So the way a 401k loan works is you can take out up to half of whatever vested balance you have in your 401k, and you can get that money. And if you're using it to buy a house, you can take that money for the down payment or the closing costs, and you set up the terms for your loan to pay yourself back into that 401k. And when you do that, you don't run into tax penalties. You don't run into early withdrawal penalties. You're taking kind of out of your paycheck money to pay back that 401k. There is an interest rate on it, but the interest also goes. So the biggest disadvantage is, let's say you have $40,000 in your 401k, you take out $20,000 to help with your closing costs. And then the next month, the stock market just goes up like crazy. Well, obviously your portfolio is half the size that it was, and you don't realize all of those gains. It's a little bit of a risk, but if you're in a housing market like Dallas, not that big of a deal, because houses are also going up like crazy. So you're still kind of getting a return on that money. So that is how we were able to sort of make that happen with the house and then not have to spend a crazy amount of money. And then we took some of the money that we had from that 401k loan and some of the money we didn't have to use from savings for closing costs, and then rolled that into remodeling a bathroom. And buying a house that needed a bathroom remodel immediately, what that let us do was get into a neighborhood that otherwise we maybe couldn't have afforded to get into, because it was a little bit of a fixer-upper. But again, we used that 401k loan, having a little bit of money saved, got into a great house where we immediately got to do a remodel and up the value of the house. And then we ran into the kitchen remodel. And that was not fun, because we had to dip into some of our personal savings, and we actually had to do a personal loan to cover the full cost of that kitchen remodel. So we had to do a personal loan, which we could do because we had good credit. And the other thing we did to soften that blow a little bit, something we've done before, which is opening up a credit card that has a no interest rate for kind of an introductory period. So I think it was like 15 on this credit card. There were no interest fees. And so that was kind of like having a loan as well. We just knew we have to pay that credit card back before that time. We could put stuff on that card and kind of help, you know, stay balanced. And then, you know, that kind of helps us with our operating expenses leading into having the kitchen redone and having a baby. So having the baby, again, another big cost, but what we did to plan for that is use an HSA, so a health savings account. Again, if that's offered through your work, you should 100% contribute to it, especially if your company contributes things to it. You should use it, because that is an account that reduces your taxable income. If you put enough money in it, you can actually start to earn interest, kind of like a 401k or investing. You don't get taxed on that. If you're using it for medical expenses, even when you pull money out, you're not getting taxed. It's a triple tax advantage account. And so we made sure we put enough aside to cover the healthcare bills for pregnancy with the HSA. So I know I just talked about a ton of little tips, little strategies, different accounts. Sorry, Andrew, I think I just, you know, went on a monologue for like 10 minutes. So I'm going to pause here, let you jump in with some comments.
There's a couple points I want to bring up with what Daniel talked about. And hopefully you're still listening, because that's kind of the point, is some of the stuff that he mentioned, 401k and HSA credit card with a no interest, it's usually called a no APR for a certain period of time. These things are those are the jargon, those are the words that people hear and say, oh, this doesn't apply to me right now because I'm not adult enough. I have bills to pay. I don't have enough money. All of these different things that those kind of words trigger in a large majority of the population, including me. It still takes me like a legitimate moment to go, hey, don't turn away because you heard financial jargon. You are educated enough. You know the importance of this. You can take the, we'll call it suffering, the boredom of looking into doing this and taking care of business, even though it's not fun, because none of this is fun. Let's be honest. Finances and doing them right and being smart about them is almost never fun, because spending money on things you want is a lot more fun. Not worrying about the future is a lot easier than worrying about the future. These are really easy, basic stuff that Daniel's talking about. A 401k, yeah, it's got numbers in it. And if you're like Andrew and numbers scare you, it's really not that scary. I don't even know what 401k stands for still. But what you need to know, if you're not going to do your own research on this, is that is something that is important and you should be doing it no matter what walk of life you're coming from. Even if you don't have a job that offers you a 401k, you need to be, you know, rocking an IRA or some form of that tax-free investment account. Super important. This doesn't necessarily apply to bigger earners. There's a limit of like $175,000 a year salary. You can't do things in a 401k. And if you're one of those people that's listening to this, you are still supposed to be doing stuff, but you need to probably go talk to a financial advisor for reals, because they will help you do a backdoor IRA or figure out some stuff to get you in this, because it's that important. Now, if you are not somebody making that $150,000, $175,000 or whatever the number is, I don't even know the exact number, but if you're not making that kind of money, you need to be rocking out one of these 401k IRA accounts, because they are just so, so important. If you are living on beans and toast, that is better than going out once a month to get drinks with that money going to your IRA or your 401k. So if you don't want to look into it, if you are scared of these words, go talk to your HR manager, go talk to somebody at your bank and say, I do not have this thing that I heard about on a podcast and I would like this thing. And you can just trust us, just do it and be done. Listen to what they're going to tell you to do and do it. And it is the single most important thing you can do with your money. That said, HSAs, they're really great. Getting that match from your company is literally free money. You should not throw that opportunity away, because yeah, you don't get the pay. You know, you might take 3% out of your paycheck, but I mean, honestly, you're probably going to lose that 3% to taxes anyways if you were to take it. So you're not really changing anything on your usable income one way or another. So there's my little pedestal. What Daniel was talking about can sound scary. It's really, really important to do that kind of thing. Let's jump into something related to what Daniel also said about buying things. And Daniel and I actually have kind of different, philosophies when it comes to money. I'm not a huge saver. That is just not something I really go in for. Generally, I am trying to focus on increased income. That said, Daniel has a wife and a kid. I am solely responsible for myself, so my ability to take risks are a little bit more elevated than somebody who has people relying on them. So take that with this perspective. So to me, being afraid to open a credit card is insane. And I know we have employees at Plains Internet that do not have credit cards, and it blows my mind. I know people personally who still do not have credit cards. Personally, I can't imagine a reason you don't have a credit card. You should have a credit card. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. If you are terrified of debt, which you shouldn't be. I, for one, am not a big Dave Ramsey fan. I know we had Sean on, Dr. Kinzer, and he and his wife are really big Ramsey fans, and it's actually done really well for them. That said, I personally do not believe in that kind of thing. I think certain people do approach that direction, that non-debt, the high saving, the high budgeting. That's a great way for some people. But I think most people would benefit better from a more open mindset to debt and, you know, building your credit and kind of being prepared, because you can do like what Daniel did and you can save up a fair bit of money. And in case something comes along, you know, hopefully you have the cash to cover it. But even like Daniel talked about, in those situations, sometimes even the cash you saved up, and I think Daniel and Hillary saved up a fair amount of cash, like a lot more than most people probably do on a regular basis. They still had to dip into personal loans and credit cards to cover everything they needed. Now, Daniel already has credit cards. He's not, you know, not one of these people that doesn't have them. But what I'm saying is that ability that he had to go leverage other debt and credit to continue doing things he needed to do, that comes because he's been building credit and he's had a credit card for years now. And I think that's really important. One, especially if you're a low income earner and, you know, if you've ever had to take a paycheck advance or anything like that, that shouldn't be something you need to be doing. You need to have a credit card to cover those kind of expenses that you're paying off when that second paycheck hits. You need to have a credit card as a catch-all function, because it's really handy. And if all else comes crashing down on you, you can declare bankruptcy and that credit card is gone. And yeah, your credit's wrecked. There's a whole lot of bad things and you really don't want to do that. But ultimately, if it's your survival versus bankruptcy, I'd much rather you have the option to declare bankruptcy and get a bunch of debt, you know, cleared off of your name than go starve yourself to death. So if you don't have a credit card and you're not doing your 401k, those are really important things. Do not be afraid of debt. Don't be afraid of credit cards. They're totally dangerous things, but just like anything dangerous, it's how you use it and how you approach it. And it just takes a certain mindset and discipline. So there's my two cents on that. What about you, Daniel? What do you feel about credit cards? Do you have a favorite or think anybody out there shouldn't have a credit card?
Well, I definitely think there are people that shouldn't have credit cards, but all of that comes around to good habits, self-restraint, those types of things. Because I mean, the danger about a credit card is you can rack up a lot of debt really quickly. And if you aren't paying things back in a timely manner, you will get wrecked on the interest rate and ends up costing anything you put on there ends up costing you much, much, much more than it would have otherwise. And so that's the grain of salt to have when it comes to credit cards is really do what you can to make sure that you're not late on payments, that you're able to pay things off, because most of them, the interest rate's like, I don't know, like 20% or something insane. So you really want to avoid that. That's the ideal. And then if you need more money and you know you're not going to be able to pay it off, doing something like a personal loan, you're going to have a much lower interest rate. You know, be aggressive about your time period that you're paying it back so that you're not paying a lot of interest and all of that fun stuff. And you're able to do that again, like Andrew's saying, if you've had good credit. But if you know that you are not going to have the self-control that you need to not go to Starbucks every single day and not hit the mall and buy more clothes every single weekend, and having an envelope of cash is the thing that keeps you from doing that and that's your budget, then definitely do that instead.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I do use them. My favorite is probably the Chase Sapphire Reserve because it's pretty focused on like really high rewards for dining. And so I use it a lot when eating out, and then it has really good travel perks and benefits. So that's my favorite.
I like it. That's actually a pretty good one too. I think I use the Southwest Rapid Rewards the most, but that's because I like travel. So there you go. There's a couple. If you hit either of us up because you're like, hey, I want a credit card, please holler. We will send you a referral link, get us some points, get you some points. It's a great time. That all said, I want to shift to the maybe more fun to talk about. It's hard to talk about these kind of things It's hard for some people to listen to that kind of stuff. So your brain might have turned to mush already in the last 10 minutes. If that's the case, I'm sorry. Pause it, get a drink of coffee, and we're going to talk about something a little more fun, and that's income. So forgive me, Daniel. I might go in a monologue now. This is something that has really bugged me about a lot of people I come into contact with. And for those listening, some of you might be in this, and I'm sorry for calling you out like this, but a lot of people are embarrassed to have more than one job, more than one source of income. And I don't understand that. Your free time is not that important. These people who can't make ends meet or who need more money or want more money, and you're not willing to pick up that second job in the evenings, you're not willing to do that side hustle, work on the weekends, you know, wait tables even on the weeknights. That is a weird, consistent mindset I come across where people are like, well, I've got my 8-to-5 job and that's it. And they just need to pay me more money and then I'll be better. No, you need to quit being lazy. You need to go get that second job. And I'm saying this with experience. So I know Daniel kind of talked through what he does. So I'll give you a little background on what my income looks like. So obviously I work for Plains Internet again, or currently, whatever you want to put that. And they pay me fairly well. Along with that, I have a little marketing agency. And I don't make a ton of money, maybe like $800 a month, but I build websites, do marketing, that kind of thing. And that comes in. I've got the little t-shirt website and it honestly probably still operates close to negative depending on the month, but I probably get 2 or 3 sales for t-shirts, you know, every month, and it generates probably $100-$150. Along with that, I will pick up little side projects if someone's doing anything or if there's something I can do for money on the weekends or the weeknights, I'll do that. And obviously we have the writing and the book stuff, which generates very little income, especially right now since we've been pushing it. But, you know, it's there. There's all these different things you can do to make extra money. And if I ran it up point where I was like, hey, I really need to make a couple hundred extra bucks or something. There's waiting tables. You know, people are hiring all over the place. You can go work at McDonald's. It doesn't matter. So if you are one of those people who is afraid to get your hands dirty in your, so to say, personal time, there's nothing else to say to you but stop and get your head out of your butt and get going, because you need to make that cash. And it's just ridiculous for people to choose to sit on the couch and watch Netflix whenever they need a second job. So there's my rant. That said, Daniel, any comments, any disagreements?
Well, yeah, if you're struggling to get by with your current job, for sure. Like, I think when it comes to budgets, there are really two aspects. And it's either controlling your expenses so that your expenses go down, which I think is what a lot of people think of when you think about a budget. And that's pretty important, because I think there are things in nearly all of our lives that we could reduce expense on, and, you know, we could do without, right? And that's easier, because tomorrow you could say, all right, I'm spending $150 a week on eating out and getting drinks, and you could stop doing that tomorrow and basically get that money back in your budget. So I think that's why there's a lot of focus on it. But I agree that it is also important to focus on the income, because that's the other aspect of your budget. If you increase your income, then you can increase your budget and you can save more and spend more and all that sort of stuff. And there are situations where tomorrow you could probably pick up a side gig, but it sort of just depends on where you're at. Like for me, that makes zero sense to do right now, because I have a wife and a kid and my income is good. And there's no excuse for to not be able to balance a budget based on the income that I have. So picking up a side hustle would just be enabling bad spending habits and reducing time with my family. So I think it just depends on where you're at and what your situation looks like.
Well, absolutely. And you've got a newborn and you've got a wife. And what's important about Daniel's situation compared to mine is he's in a two income household. That goes really far on a lot of expenses. So maybe you are in a two income household. That's great. You might not need to do as much side effort to make ends meet or to increase your net income, you know, net worth. Spend time with those people you love, because that is worthwhile. Like in the end, we're not here to make money. We are here to live. And money just helps enable us to live a little bit better, a little bit more smoothly. And it's important, but it is not what we are here for. But that said, if you're single, or maybe you do have two incomes, but it's still not cutting it, you got to pull those blinders off and get your hands dirty. So okay, since we don't have story time, Daniel, let me ask you what you do with your budget, and if there's anything interesting when you're budgeting that you think is kind of fun to share.
Yeah, I don't know if it's fun to share, but I do think something that Hillary and I do with our budget that is important, again, maybe it's not where everybody is at, but I would encourage you to consider this, especially if you're listening and you're in America, because of how wealthy we are here as a country. You may not feel that personally, and maybe that doesn't apply to you personally, but it probably does. So something that Hillary and I definitely devote resources to on a monthly basis is giving to others and to causes and things like that. And I don't want to go into like crazy specifics or really make it about me, because that sort of removes some of the point of that. But I, again, think that if you're setting down a budget, if you're looking at what expenses are, it's worth trying to see where you could sacrifice a little bit for the benefit of others that might be less fortunate. And again, it depends on the situation and the scenario that you're in. But for us, it's something that's been really meaningful, really worthwhile. And if you're not completely altruistic, I mean, there is tax benefit to it as well. So I'll throw that out there. Hopefully that's not the reason why it's happening, but If you are giving, I would say also keep that in mind, because, you know, it lets you maybe give a little bit more if you're taking care of what you need to on the taxes side of things. So that's something I just think that a lot of people, at least in the walk of life that we're in, could benefit from and think about a little bit more. And that's my plug, or maybe that's my challenge. It's kind of the challenge for the week, is thinking about ways that you could be a little bit more generous with some of your resources, whether it's a regular monthly thing or just being willing to do the deal where you pay it forward and line at the coffee shop. Like, you just tell them, hey, get the person's order that's behind me, and, you know, you cheers and walk away, and it makes that person's day a little bit better.
No, absolutely. But it feels good. And it's something I'm terrible at, honestly, but I'm with you. It feels good.
Yeah. How about you, Andrew?
Well, since you got to throw a challenge out, we're going to double dip on the challenges, because mine will also be my sort of challenge. It's something that I think is pretty cool, and it definitely didn't make it into the book. So exclusive content on the podcast, baby. If you're on social media, you've probably seen an ad for this app called Truebill. And I've seen it over and over again. And I'm like everybody else. If someone's trying to sell me something, my first reaction is, no, you can't trick me into getting that thing that you want me to get, because I am an independent human and I will not fall for your salesman-y shenanigans. It's basically a backfire effect where we hate it when people sell stuff to us. I caveat there. And as far as I know, Truebill isn't doing anything for our podcast. So this is purely Andrew's really dig this thing. So I got the app and plugged it into my bank account. Who knows? Maybe one day they're going to steal all my money and that would be unfortunate, but it's plugged in. And why I think this is so cool and so important for a lot of people listening is budgeting and figuring out where your money goes is really kind of difficult. Like, it takes time and effort and a lot of dedication to tracking. And if you go look at Pearson's Law, where what is measured grows and what is measured and recorded grows exponentially, that specifically applies to money. So if you are measuring where your money's going, when it's coming in, what you're spending it on, and you're tracking that kind of thing, it's really important. That's really how you get your finances under control. This app does it for you. It tells you, hey, here's all the information daily. Here's all the information weekly. And it kind of goes through and be like, hey, you spent this much money. You were over your limit on, and not even limit. It's just like, hey, you spent a bunch of money. So I'll get alerts periodic where it's like, hey, we saw a weirdly large transaction. What are you doing? Usually it's something justified, but it just depends. So it's kind of cool. Personally, I'm really bad at tracking what I'm doing with my money. And so Amazon and I, you know, it's Christmas every week. One of the coolest things about this app has been, it's like, hey, end of the month, it's like, hey, Andrew, you spent a lot of money on Amazon. And it keeps me conscientious of what I'm doing, because those little purchases to me, they don't really track in my head. If something's under $20, I'm just like, oh, great, I want this thing. And I have a really bad habit of clicking the buy now button and then I move on, especially digital products. I buy books and audiobooks all the time. And I don't even think about it because I love that kind of stuff. For instance, this came a couple weeks ago. I got my, it was not even a monthly, it was like a weekly thing. And it was like, hey, you spent $800 on Amazon. Like, wasn't exactly judgmental, but to me, myself, I was like, dang, the hell am I doing? I need to chill out on Amazon. And I think it was partly I bought some stuff for the house. There's a couple birthdays that came through, like atypical, but still, I didn't realize I'd spent $800 in a week on Amazon. That's insane. So these birthday parties need to chill. Like, I don't need to be getting that kind of stuff. And I really do think it was actually, there's a mix of weddings that I sent gifts off to because I'm not attending the wedding. There's some birthday parties, you know, all kinds of stuff, but still something to be conscientious of, because before Truebill would have said, hey, you spent $800. Someone asked me like, hey, what did you do with your money this week? I'd be like, I have no idea. You know, I went out, got some coffee, went out to eat, you know, probably didn't do much, might've spent $100 this week. And I was way off, and that's almost every week. Like, I have no idea. So Truebill is really handy for that. So I highly recommend getting the app, plugging it in. And even if you're not budgeting, even if you're not doing anything like we have recommended, this is a great way to just at least know what's happening with your money. And maybe that will inspire you to make better decisions or tell you you're really good and let you, you know, loosen up a little bit and buy somebody ice cream or something. To everybody listening, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We have been having a blast doing this and really hope this was informational for you and helps push you in the right direction. Money is it's a tough subject. We're definitely not professionals. If this is something you really think you're struggling with or really want help on, go find a financial advisor. Go find a friend who's doing really well. Maybe talk to your parents. You never know where you can get good advice, but this is something that affects all of us and we really should take it more seriously than most of us do. Hope you guys enjoyed this maybe a little bit more dry episode. Have a great day and we look forward to connecting with you soon.